Well, welcome back. Welcome anew. Welcome to the Further Faster podcast. I'm Joseph McClendon III, and along with my amazing guest, we will be your host, your guide, and maybe even your mentor to do exactly what the name implies, and that is to assist you in going further, faster, and becoming more wealthy. And around here, wealthy means to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant. And I'm going to share with you something. To say that my guest today is an influencer is an understatement by biblical proportions. And I don't mean just an influencer in the terms that we normally know an influencer to be. I mean somebody that influences people to change their lives in a lot of different ways. So you want to grab yourself a pad and a paper, because my guest, Ian Prochner, is going to help me dismantle my own roof in my studio and tear it off. Grab a pad and paper, and we'll be right back. Well, welcome back. Welcome back. Hey, listen, I get asked a lot, Joseph, who do you listen to? Who inspires you? Who do you watch? You know, what kind of videos do you watch? Who on social media do you watch? And my next guest, Ian Prochner, is one of those people that I have for some years now been tuning into. And just because, for a couple reasons. Number one, he's not just an inspirational person, but he's somebody that's got some hardcore processes and things like that to help people go further, faster. He's what he calls a serial entrepreneur. He's a consultant, he's a speaker, a best-selling author, and he's built up to nine-figure businesses in finance and real estate and e-commerce and IP spaces. And he just launched a new course called the Social Media Millionaires Bootcamp, exact formula for how I made over $1 million a year in the last 5 years from social media without having paid ads, even if you don't have a big following. He's got a new book releasing at the end of this year, and he's a co-founder of a $50 million tech company. You guys are going to enjoy this, man. Ian, welcome to the Further Faster podcast.
Joseph, thank you. It's an honor to be here with you. And man, I feel the same about you. I get so much inspiration and so much value from watching what you're doing online and just who you are and what you built and the people that you're serving. So thanks so much. I'm excited for our conversation today.
It is my pleasure. And like I said, this has been a long time coming, but I've been wanting to talk to you and at least have you on the show for some time now. Share with us a little bit, because I know you grew up in one of the coldest places, as far as I'm concerned, on the planet. And I don't do cold. You grew up in Michigan. Tell us a little. Yeah. Yeah. I know. Now you're in Florida.
Yeah.
Share with us a little bit about you. You know, what brings you to where you are and what makes you do what you do and why?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was born and raised in a little town called Royal Oak, Michigan, which is just north of Detroit. So Detroit is famous for 8 Mile, made famous by Eminem.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I grew up off 11 Mile, so I was 3 miles north of 8 Mile. And man, I grew up like super middle class, little 900 square foot home. My parents still live there. I'm a first generation American. My dad immigrated from the Czech Republic, picked up and left in the middle of the night when the Russian tanks rolled into his town. His family went on quote vacation and never came back. You weren't allowed to leave. And so they left on vacation, got political asylum in the US, came here, learned the language, and worked midnights for 40 years as a pastry chef, trying to just give my family an opportunity. So, yeah, I grew up like really middle class. I didn't know anybody with any, you know, sort of real substantial success in any way, but I had a great family, a lot of love, a lot of great foundation, just not a lot of success and leadership and entrepreneurial thinking, right? And, I ended up through a series of relationships. I ended up getting married at 21 and 22 years old and working for a church. I was a professional musician, much like you were. And I ran bands for like a big mega church up in Michigan. And Joseph, if you know, you know, music people, if we can make enough money to survive playing music, we're the happiest people on earth, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like that's your dream. Right. Yeah, it's like, hey, let's play music all day. And if I can make enough that my bills are paid from that, it's like you couldn't expect or want any more. So we were working for a church. My wife and I were both working for this church in Metro Detroit. And in late 2006, we got called into our boss's office and we were newly married. We spent our first anniversary, Joseph, as a pirate and a princess in a vacation Bible school play for kids, right? Like, like we were all in. That's what I've always done my whole life. Like anything I'm doing, I'm going to do 110%. You know, I don't drink. Sure. I don't have any problem with people who do, but I don't drink for that reason because I do everything 110%. Right?
Same here. Preaching to the, you're literally preaching to the choir there.
Yeah, you don't want to see that, right? Okay. Yeah. I'm crazy enough as it is.
Yeah.
Exactly. So anyways, you know, we get called into the boss's office, and I don't know if you've ever sat in a meeting where somebody's going to drop a bomb on you, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you could cut the atmosphere with a knife. It was so thick. And he looked at us, he said, Ian, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but effective immediately, we're cutting everybody's pay 10%, and the church is not doing well. I don't know if and when we're going to be able to make it up to you. I'm really, really sorry. And so we were broke, right? Like we were working at the church. I was teaching music lessons. I was playing in bands. I was singing at weddings and funerals. And between all of that, I was like making enough to be okay. And so with that pay cut, we were like $250 a month short, right? And so my radar went up for like, how do I make $250 a month and not take on a fifth job? And so the best thing I could come up with, Joseph, is I decided I was going to be a night manager at Rite Aid. So I don't know if you have Rite Aids where you are, but it's like—
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
And I was going to work three midnights a week for $14.55 an hour. And after taxes and all that came out, that would be the $250 shortfall that we had. And so that was my plan. And I was just about to get started with that. And my boss at the church came to me and he said, Ian, are you still looking to make some extra money? I said, Stephen, with all due respect, you are my boss, but you see what you pay me here, right? That is the dumbest thing you have ever asked me. Of course, I'm looking to make extra money. And he says, hey, there's this guy that goes here. He does this thing. That's what he called. He says, he does this thing. You'd be good at it. You should go talk to him. And I figured, well, I couldn't possibly make any less than I'm making now, right? So I called this guy up. I didn't know who he was. And I said, hey, I don't know who you are, but you'd recognize me. You see me on stage every week at church. And my boss said, you might have an opportunity. He said, sure, come on by the house in an hour. So this is a Wednesday in August of 2006. And I pulled up to this guy's house, Joseph. He's got this castle looking home on a lake, right? Like just gorgeous. And keep in mind, like my parents still live in that 900 square foot house I grew up in. And I pulled up and no joke, I was like, if this guy's not selling drugs to kids, I'm in. I don't care what he's doing. It doesn't matter to me. Like I was smart enough at that point in my life as a 21-year-old to know here is somebody who has some financial knowledge that I don't possess. And I would be foolish to not learn everything I can from this man. Like today, the government, the media, all these guys, they want you to hate people that are doing better than you. They want you to find faults with them. They want you to tear them down.
Dude,
you should be learning from those people.
Exactly. They aggressively go after that, as a matter of fact. Absolutely. Aggressively want you. Don't get me started. Go on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, he showed me what he was doing. He's in the finance space. I didn't know anything about finance. I didn't have any finances. That's what I knew. Right? I couldn't spell IRA, right? I didn't know anything. But he said, hey, if you're willing to learn, I'll teach you. And you can do it spare time. And I said, sure, sounds great. So I started in the financial space to make $250 a month on a part-time basis. That was my goal. And over the last 20 years, it just gotten wildly out of hand. You know, it just went a little crazy, right? So I started, I didn't know anything about that business, but I learned, I got my licensing, I studied, I was attached to that man's hip that was mentoring me, and I learned everything he could teach me. It took me about 10 months to make a six-figure income there, most of that part-time. And so I'm making 30 grand a year at the church, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, dude, this is costing me money to be here. So I resigned. I actually stayed on, Joseph, for 2 years. And I said, I'm going to still do all your music, but I'm not doing rehearsals. I'm not doing HR. I'm not doing scheduling. I'm not running band practice. I'm not setting things up. I'm not coming to staff meetings. But I'll do the performance for free. Just for a couple of years. So I did that. Long story short, we actually ended up selling that business last year, about 18 months ago now, for multiple eight figures in total value. And it was just an absolutely life-changing experience for me. I learned so much about myself and who I wasn't and who I wanted to be.
Nice.
And I've spent the last 15 years making that transition from where and who I was to where and who I am now. And I'll spend the next 15 years continuing to traverse that path into becoming the person that I feel like I'm supposed to be. And so that was my start in business. And it gave us a lot of success financially and otherwise. When we sold the business, we had 1,400 people working for us in 48 locations all over the country. It was just an absolute joy and a privilege. And like you read in the bio, you know, I ended up getting involved in some real estate stuff and some IP stuff and courses, coaching. I wrote a book that did okay. I've got a second one coming out soon. And so I've just sort of been really blessed to be, prepared enough and positioned well enough that when my opportunities found me, I could act. And I could go all in and give everything I had to becoming great at those things. And it's translated into a lot of success. I love what you talk about being healthy and happy and financially. I talk about five F's really in one of my coaching groups, faith, family, fitness, finance, and future self. Those five things, those are the most important areas of our life, right? And there's a lot of guys out there who have the appearance of winning right now and maybe one or two of those. But it's my belief that if you're not winning in all those, you're not winning at all, right? Because like the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I would substitute in also with lose their family, lose their health,
right?
Lose their reputation.
Yeah.
What does it profit a man to do that? And so I've been on a journey for the last 15 years of putting those five F's together and every day just making little baby steps towards the person I want to be in all those areas.
Spectacular. I want to backtrack on something and then I'm going to dig even deeper if you don't mind. You said something that I don't often hear people say. And when I do hear them say it, there's a negative connotation. And you said you spent this time and you learned about who you weren't, who I wasn't. But the way that you said it was not a negative way. You recognize who you weren't. Talk a little bit about that, what you realized who you weren't that made you want to go forward and become something else.
You know what? One of the things about entrepreneurialism that is so interesting is it forces you to look in the mirror every single day. Mm-hmm. And to look at everything you are and everything that you are currently lacking. And it wasn't like some less than thing. It was just an acute observation of like, hey, for the dreams that I have, I'm missing this skill set and this skill set and this skill set. I'm missing this habit, and this habit. I'm missing this relationship, and this relationship. I'm missing this belief system, this belief. And so I created an inventory of all the things. Think about sort of like Ben Franklin's 13 virtues.
Right, sure.
Yeah. He had this framework of 13 things that he felt made a successful person. And he would work on one of those things for a month. And then the next month he'd go into the next one. He would cycle that over and over. But in order to do that, you've got to take an accurate inventory of where you are.
Brian.
Right. So like, think about leading a successful life. That doesn't happen by chance. It happens by choice. Right.
Right.
And so if you're going to GPS from me here, I'm in Siesta Key, Florida, you're in California, right? Okay, we could put those two addresses in maps and then let the map do the work of telling us how to get from here to there, right? But in order for that to occur, you do need a finite fixed starting point and an end point. And Joseph, there's so many people who have a vision of what the end point looks like, but they simply refuse to acknowledge accurately where the starting point is. And so they don't acknowledge that, they start on a wrong road. They're working on things that are the highest value priorities.
That is so well put. And thank you for clarifying that, because I think I would add to it that I know this about you as well. And that's the reason why I said that it was not a negative connotation. Yeah. That when you look at that inventory and you take a look at it, and as you said, you go, I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have that. That wasn't a negative thing. It was a possibility thing, correct?
That's right.
I don't have these things. And let me make a plan to go get these things or create these things. And that is such a huge, huge distinction.
That's the key, right? Is it's here's what I'm missing, but I don't have to remain missing these things, right? Change, I can grow, I can seek this information out and assimilate it into my life. You know, I see a lot of people talk about like imposter syndrome and all that.
Right.
And, you know, I always tell people two things. You know, imposter syndrome does two things for you. Number one, subconsciously, it's letting you know like, hey, I don't feel like you paid the price yet to be where you are, to be where you need to go. And that's a positive thing because it forces you to keep growing and keep getting better, even when the world starts rewarding you materially or within or other things. It keeps you on your game. The second thing I always tell people is you don't have to be an expert to lead somebody further behind you, right? Like, you might not be a shoe tying expert, Joseph, but if your audience is 4-year-old kids with Velcro shoes, you're probably going to have a pretty compelling masterclass on the 4 or 5 ways to know how to tie your shoe. And so we don't have to be the not expert to help some people who are further behind get to where we are. And, you know, but going back to that idea that the reason we sometimes feel that way is because our subconscious understands that we do have some inadequacies and that it's helping us to try to get some gumption, some energy behind us to start seeking out some solutions for those things.
Perfect. And why would you think that most people do just the opposite? And I say most, you and I are similar industries, including, by the way, I'm not sure if I shared this with you. I made my first fortune, if you will, in real estate many, many years ago. But the question is, why do you think most people choose that to look at what they don't have as being a negative let's say they default to that versus what you are saying, which is to look at it and go, well, look, I don't have this. And now I know I don't have this. Here's what I can do to make it happen. Why would you think that most people default to the antithesis?
Because it's easier, right? It's a reason, a justification for their current state in life and the current lack of the things that they would really want. If given the opportunity to explain to you their dream life, they're not living it. But that's okay because I don't have this, or I don't have these right things. And so what happens is mentally it gives us a break. We don't have to look for the solution because we've already explained that that solution is not available to us. Mm-hmm. When we own that and we say, well, how could I go get those things? Now we become infinitely creative. Our subconscious will begin to look for the answers to the questions that we ask of it. And by saying, hey, I don't have this, by taking that negative connotation, what it does is it allows us to stay in that familiar zone, in that area of comfort and familiarity, instead of having to push ourselves to the point of failure and incompetence. Because when we're growing, by definition, every single day, we are doing something we have not or could not do before. And that's a really uncomfortable place to live. One of the things I always told the people that I've had the privilege to lead is you've got to master being uncomfortable.
Nice,
right?
Nice.
And being comfortable with that, right? You've got to master being comfortable, being uncomfortable. That discomfort is not a warning sign that you're going the wrong way. In fact, it is actually a green light and something saying, hey, this is the right path. You're uncomfortable because you're growing.
That is beautiful. And that, you know, you and I are you know, cut from the same cloth on that, in that that is what we teach people as well in the Neuro Encoding Institute, is not only to recognize those facts that you just said right there, but to get excited about seeking it out. Get excited about looking for it. Okay, I'm uncomfortable in this area. I'm uncomfortable. Let me go find it.
Yes.
So I can get it out in front of me. I always tell people, listen, if you come into my office and you got a fear of dogs, take a guess what's going to be in my office. It's going to be a dog. And within a short amount of time in this kind of situation, when I was doing that type of therapy or interventions, if you will, it was less than a half hour.
Yeah.
Because there's process to be able to do that. And I know that's one of the things that you share with people as well. And we're going to take a short break here in just a little bit. But before we do, I want to talk about and again, I'm just getting to know you myself, my friend. However, I feel like I've known you for a long time because I have been following you and watching
you. Magic of the internet, right?
Oh, yeah, because I got the internet, that new thing that all the kids are using. And as I watch you and as I listen to you, and even as I'm looking at you right now, and oftentimes there are people that are not watching us, Ian, right now on video. There are people that are going to listen to this podcast auditorily. And I have never, ever seen you have a conversation without that smile on your face. without that smile in your eyes at the very least. And I know, you know, I've seen you. I haven't had the privilege of being into any of your groups or any of your seminars or anything like that. But I have seen times when you do get serious. But I also know that there's a level of joy in you in what you do. Talk really shortly, real quickly about that level of joy of why you do what you do this way.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I appreciate that. When I was in high school, there was a girl named Melissa. She was an upperclassman, very, very popular. One day she stopped me walking down the hall. She said, "You are always smiling. What is up with you?" And so, dude, you know what? I'm in the best country in the history of the world. I have unlimited amounts of opportunity at my fingertips that if I should choose to avail myself of, I can. I know who I am, whose I am, why I'm here, what I want to do with my life. And I've had so much of a privilege. I've had so much of a privilege, Joseph, to be able to spend my life the last 15 or 20 years pouring into the lives of other people who God made on purpose, with a purpose, and I'm intersecting in their life for a reason. And so when you get up every day and you say, every day is a divine assignment, there's somebody here coming across my path whose dream is attached to my dream, whose future is attached to my future, whose pain I have been through and experienced and now have a platform to be able to bring them through too. It's hard to not be joyful when you wake up every morning and see life as a gift, as a privilege, and as an opportunity. And so, man, that's a great question. And it's something that it just every morning I wake up and God, this is the day you've made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So hopefully that helps.
That is spectacular. And that practice of doing that, which has now become your belief, is, I think, is what more people on the planet need to have. We're going to take a really short break and we'll be right back, because I want to dig deeper into some of the things that you actually teach people. We'll be right back. Hey, what's good? It's me, Joseph McClendon III. And let me get real with you just for a second. Now, you've probably heard me talk about this before, something that I call the thieves of our dreams. Procrastination, hesitation, fear of failure, fear of success, self-doubt, self-loathing, imposter syndrome, and fear of rejection. Well, let me ask you a question. What if you could not only retrain your brain and your nervous system to automatically default to your absolute best thoughts, emotions, and behaviors, but you could also do the same for others that are going through difficult times and challenges in their own lives and things that are stopping them from creating the life of their desires? Well, this is what I call neuroencoding. And at the risk of sounding arrogant, these are the same tools, methods, and strategies in neuroscience that I've used to operate in the upper 5% of all of my own businesses, especially as a coach, a speaker, and a presenter for the last 30 plus years. The Neuroencoding Institute provides you with the knowledge, the tools, and unmatched support to become a certified neuroencoding specialist and guide you to the life of wealthiness. And remember, wealthy means to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant. Go to neuroencoding.com to speak to an enrollment specialist today, and I look forward to serving you at the highest level.
You're enjoying this episode on Angel Phoenix Productions Podcast Network. To explore a complete lineup of quality programs and media production services, head on over to angelphoenix.com or like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Angel Phoenix Productions.
Well, welcome back. I'm with my guest, Ian Pruckner, and we were just talking about all of the things that that makes him who he is and how he got to where he is, which is an unbelievable, I call him megapreneur versus an entrepreneur. And if you've been around me for a while, you know that word is entrepreneurs or anybody that chooses to and actively pursues creating income and lifestyle and all of those things through means other than the traditional employer-employee relationship. Well, a megapreneur is somebody that does that and they operate in that upper 3 to 5%. And Ian is definitely one of those people. And so I want to switch gears a little bit, Ian, if you don't mind. And I want you to talk a little bit about, because one of the things that you do is you don't do this in a vacuum. And what I mean by that is that you've helped thousands and thousands of other people become entrepreneurs and financially successful and earn six-figure incomes and more. Share with us a little bit about it. I know you got a program, a new program coming out, but two things. Number one, share with us a little bit about, because I know you do courses and things like that, some of those, and then talk a little bit about your program, the social media program that you have as well.
Yeah. So I wrote a book a couple of years ago that did all right. It hit bestseller on a couple of things.
And yeah, it did all right. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't make it 99 cents. I also didn't put it in like, you know, the Cabbage Patch Kids genre. So that, you know, you see some of these tactics these guys do. They sell eight books and they're a best-selling author. Right. But I wrote this book and the book is called Byproduct. And a byproduct is what you get at the end of what you thought you were going to get, right? So you thought you were going to get this thing, but you ended up with these other sort of ancillary results, these other ancillary products. And what I always told people is my life is a byproduct of the way that I think and the beliefs that I hold, right? And so I wrote this book called Byproduct. And the idea of this book is that we are always operating on this formula. I call it T-bar, thoughts, beliefs, actions, results. One is begetting the other. And so they are not islands unto themselves. We don't do things because we feel like doing them. We do them because our thinking and our belief systems create that action or inaction. And so I wrote this book and it did pretty well. And I got a lot of people asking like, how do you apply this? How do you apply this? So I did a course on that book. Called the Byproduct Masterclass. That's sort of how I got into courses, but it is really an opus on how to make long-lasting, permanent change. And that is like, that's the biggest gap in the world, right, Joseph, is the gap between knowing what to do and doing what to do.
Doing what you know.
Yeah, that is the big gap, right? And even Paul talked about it in the Bible. He said, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I want to do, I don't do. What is going on? And so what I found over the last 15 years is there's a process to that. And if you can get this process down, you can change anything you want, right? I lost almost 40 pounds. I've kept it off for 8 years. I was unhappy. I was not nearly as successful. And learning that process of change and applying it in my life has been pretty amazing, right? So that's how I started making courses and stuff, was just as a byproduct, ironically, of writing a book, which was a byproduct of building a pretty successful business where, you know, I had to lead thousands of people and, you know, documenting what I learned in that process. And so that was how all of that started. So the course that I just came out with called Social Media Millions Bootcamp is exactly that. It's a byproduct. It's not flashy. It's not gimmicky. It's not stunty. It's not the new thing. You know, I had somebody the other day, you know, making a critique of his like sort of like some old school methodology. It's like, well, it works and it's made me millions and millions of dollars and it's easy and it's free and you don't need a big following. You don't even need a product to sell, honestly, at the beginning. And if you do these little things, these two or three things every single day, over time, you're going to be able to monetize your social media at levels that you wouldn't imagine. I would have never imagined it. Like, I didn't ever think I would make that much money serving people, doing what I'm doing anyways. I'm already doing these things and sharing them with other people. And so that course just launched. And I just got a couple of texts. I got a text from one of the guys earlier today said, hey, I was just asked to speak at this big national event about how I'm using social media to do X. And that was my stuff that I taught him. And he went and ran with it and he's getting like big national recognition. And that's really rewarding, right? Like I'm sure that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like what you live for, right? Is it's like, hey, you've done well. Now it's about how many other people can I help to live their dreams, to break through the things that have been holding them back. And so that's my deal right now.
That is beautiful. And you're absolutely right. You know, at this stage in my, and if you'll allow me to be part of your club as well, our careers, you know, in this genre, if you will, there's a lot, you know, I remember when I was broke and homeless and people would go, well, listen, it's not the money. Well, yeah, it's not the money when you have it. Yeah. And when you don't, you know, your focus is towards, well, let me make some money and then I'll make that decision on my own.
Sure.
But I'm here to say, and I'm sure you are as well, that is really the truth. when you get that financial freedom, when you get that area of that money is not an issue, especially when it's not an issue to survive, it enhances that peace in you that I believe was already there. And that is that we're on this planet to serve and to help each other as well.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned your parents. I had great parents as well. And my parents, I remember, and I didn't appreciate it when I was quite young, quite honestly. My mother she was one of those people that would, this is way long before basket brigades were a big deal or anything. And there was not really anything out there like that. She would do things like form her own basket brigades. And she would do things that just used to upset my sisters and I to no end in the summertime, which was our time, you know, yeah. Back in the 60s and 70s, summertime meant that was time off. You're out of school. You get to go have fun. My mother would go to the ghetto, and how she convinced these people to give us their kids for the summer. I have three sisters, and two of them one of them was quite young, but she would get two little girls that were a year younger than each of my sisters and one boy that was a year younger than me. And our job was to mentor those kids through the whole summer. And when we were upset about it was just like, why do we have to do this? And why do I have this kid? She would go, understand this. Two things. Number one, to that person, you're the wealthiest person in the world. Yeah. To that person. And then number two, remember, somebody did this for you and will do it for you at some place. And it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And so that is, you know, that's the impetus behind why I do what I do. And it sounds like you as well. You had great parents that taught you that as well.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Yeah, if you would, please share with everybody, A, how to get in touch with you, how to follow you, and even more specifically, how to get involved with your new program.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So the easiest way to find me is just go to Instagram at Ian Pruckner. There is probably 15 or 20 accounts impersonating me at any given time.
Yeah, by now.
You're aware of that, Joseph. I know you get those too. So I'm the blue check one. So follow me there. And shoot me a DM. Just say hello. I'd love to chat. I do all my own social media, believe it or not. Okay. I don't edit and stuff, but I post and I respond, and it helps me to stay connected to the people that I'm serving. So it will be me that reaches back out to you. And so just follow me on Instagram at Ian Pruckner and shoot me a DM. And then in terms of the social media millions, I actually have a free lesson. If you just want to DM me on Instagram, the word social, just shoot me a DM. And I'll shoot you the free lesson and the PDF graphic, the infographic, and even some of the tidbits from our workbook on it, and jump into it. And I promise you, this one thing that I'll teach you, if you do it, will become an immediate source of revenue that you can start or grow if you're already doing this from a computer anywhere in the world in 5 minutes a day. It's so simple. It's so easy. Doesn't matter if you have a big following. Doesn't matter if you feel like you're a social media novice. Doesn't even matter if you don't have a product to sell right now. You take this process, you do it every day, and over a period of time, you're going to start getting some results. So I'd love to be able to gift that to you as a thank you for listening today.
Spectacular. Thank you so much. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the real deal you're seeing right here. Here is a man who does not have to do this. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, when I get my millions, you can find me on the beach drinking out of a coconut, you know. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, you can only spend so much time on doing that. And I always believe this, that there is good in all of us and that good will come out. And it's certainly being demonstrated to us right now. Ian, thank you so, so, so much for sharing your life, your insights. And everybody, please, I'm going to tell you now, like I said at the top of this is a person that I go to. Every time I'm on my social media and I see you pop up, I get excited and I stop what I'm doing and send it out to my friends and everything as well. Because there's always great little tidbits and always great little pieces of advice and always great little things that you can do that anybody can do. So Ian, thank you so much for being on the show. And I do have a request.
Sure.
As you know, time flies when you're having fun, and I've been having fun doing this. And my request is that you come back and let's do this again.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Let's absolutely do it. And excited to do some more stuff with you here in the future, Joseph. Thank you so much. I appreciate you and all that you do to serve so many people around you. Your life is a great example of what it means to be service and others focused. And so thank you so much for being you and for the impact that you're having on the people around you, including myself. I get a lot of value from you every single day. So thank you.
It is my absolute pleasure. So, ladies and gentlemen, you will find Ian's information in the description here, and make sure you go check him out and avail yourself of the knowledge, wisdom, kindness, and joy of this man as well. And remember this, life is always exactly what you dare to make it, and fortune favors the bold. So continue to boldly step up and dare to make your life magnificent, and I will see you at the top.
This podcast was a production of Angel Phoenix Productions. Explore more episodes of this show or other great shows on the Angel Phoenix Podcast Network by visiting angelphoenix.com. The views expressed in this show do not necessarily represent those of Angel Phoenix Productions or its advertisers, and may contain language that's unsuitable for younger listeners.